Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Welcome to the FM Magazine podcast. This is Senior Editor Neil Amato. In part one, Mary Legakis Engel told me about legendary leaders, as well as explaining leadership types. If you haven't heard that episode, you might want to go back and listen, so you know exactly what things such as benevolent autocrats are. In this episode, part two, we'll talk about one key trait of being a great leader. That trait, being a great listener. Here's the second part of my interview with management coach Mary Legakis Engel. Is part of leadership or legendary leadership being a great listener?
It is. And in fact, the more you move higher into the ranks of leadership, the more listening you're expected to do. It's the people on the front lines that want to be heard, and especially with the new generations coming up, expect to be heard. So as a leader, some of the technology leaders say it best. They bring people on board because as they grow in leadership, they get further and further away from the innovations and the currentness of technology. They have no choice but to listen to the up-and-coming developers and engineers and people on the front lines because they're the ones closest to the newest innovations. So listening is really, really important. And being able to absorb yourself in what others are saying and turn off your brain and listen intently without activity happening behind the eyes is really important in leadership.
Are managers today any good at listening?
That's a great question. If you look at the research, it would suggest that not enough of them are very good at listening. Gallup does some employee engagement research, and they find that employee engagement is actually declining, and they blame bad managers. Now, I don't particularly love that label that they've placed on it, bad managers, because I think every manager tries hard to be a good manager, and I think some do a better job of it than others. And one of the reasons that we are experiencing low employee engagement is because people don't know how to listen well. And people don't know how to listen well because they haven't ever seen anybody hear them. We grow up in benevolent autocrat homes where we're told, go to bed, do your homework, you know, finish the chores, all of these instructions constantly given to us, and our opinion sometimes gets pushed aside. So we grow up knowing how not to listen, and then we're forced into an environment where we have to manage people and we have to learn how to listen. And we don't always have the training available to us to help us figure out how to do that. And there's a lot of negative messages around listening as well, because listening requires curiosity. And if you're not curious, and people are not curious, because, you know, I associate curiosity with the dead cat, for example, that's scary for people. And it takes courage and it takes time to listen to people. And some people don't have time, and that's stressful. So probably not enough managers are really great listeners.
How do you differentiate active listening with just listening?
I think active listening is different from listening in that active listening requires asserted effort on the part of the listener. Listening is more like hearing what's being said. Active listening is about hearing what's not being said. And if you're going to hear what's not being said, it means you need to develop some skills at accessing information that's not readily available. And quite simply, that's about asking questions and allowing people the space to speak and giving people enough time to prepare their opinions and to present those opinions. And time is not something that managers have in abundance. So I think it's really hard for people to find the time to actively listen.
So you touched on it, the topic of time. it's obviously good to be an active listener, to be fully absorbed in what the other person is saying, but what if you don't have the time, or what if that person is someone you don't really want to listen to?
What if you've got somebody in front of you who wants to be heard and you don't really want to listen to them? It depends a little bit on what you want out of that person. So time is tight for all of us. We all have the same 24 hours. We have to prioritize what we focus on. If we have a person in front of us that wants to be heard and we need that person to do something for us in an efficient and effective manner, then sometimes it will require us to spend more time up front listening to that person, not necessarily because we agree with what they're going to say, but because we need them to feel heard so that they feel like they can trust us enough to go in the direction we want to take them. And if you can't be trusted by that person, then they are not going to come with you. So part of it is you got to listen so that you can gain trust.
Do leaders have to set limits, though, on when they're able and available to listen?
I think so. I mean, a lot of managers that I talk to have the disruption problem. They are distracted by people constantly showing up at their door, interrupting whatever work they're doing at that time. And so it takes a bit of a negotiator who can make time for that listening. And occasionally you're simply going to have to look at the person that wants to talk and say, hey, I would love to hear what you have to say. I just can't hear it right now because I have some other priorities on my plate. So why don't we set up some dedicated time, half hour tomorrow at whatever time, and let's sit down and I will hear everything you have to say. Just by doing that, you've made that person feel immensely more important than if you were to try and pretend to listen to them in that moment when you're completely distracted and you're not going to be able to get the value out of them that you need.
So why are some questions powerful while others are weak?
You know, powerful questions, I think a lot of people worry that they don't know the questions to ask. And I think that is a false worry. We are all innately curious. And if we are interested in what the other person has to say, then the questions will flow naturally. And what I often encourage people to do is ask simple questions. Why? How? What? When? Where? With whom? You just go through that list and you'll be able to dig really deep into anything somebody is telling you. And if you can ask a simple question and get silence, then you know you've hit a powerful question. If you can ask a simple question and you get an immediate, almost superficial response or a very obvious response, then you know you've hit a weak question. A powerful question is that one that gets somebody to think about something in a way they haven't thought about it before. And that requires them to sit in silence for a moment so that they can tap into whatever it is that they're developing in their head. So a good active listener will relish silence because they know that those are the golden moments when somebody is coming up with something maybe groundbreaking.
You've worked in a public accounting firm. Mm-hmm. You've been around accountants. Not to stereotype accountants or generalize, but do you feel like accountants in particular are good listeners, not as good? What do you think?
Yeah, I know an abundance of amazing listeners who are accountants, and I know some that are a little too shy to listen or a little too introverted to be around people and listen in certain ways. So I wouldn't generalize to say that accountants are good or bad listeners. I would say that the accounting profession, from an organizational standpoint, tends to lend itself more to the administrator style because it attracts people who are experts in their field, highly educated, who can work independently and autonomously, and who have a tendency to lean towards procedure and process because the job is highly regulated. Everything follows a law, a regulation, a rule, whatever. And so people who are comfortable in that space will tend to be attracted to the profession of accounting. People who are comfortable in that space are not necessarily equipped with the skills of listening, because their tendency will be to following procedures and process. And that doesn't mean that they don't become skilled at listening, especially ones that are implementing change quite frequently. It just means that they're not going to have to use that behavior as frequently as somebody, say, in a creative industry or a highly complex industry. That's typically what I've seen in the accounting profession.
You've spoken about a stubborn scale, and you said you're on a scale of 1 to 10, I guess 10 on the stubborn scale. What is this stubborn scale you speak of?
So I use a personality assessment with my clients that is called the Facet 5. And one of the facets on the Facet 5 is the will scale. The will scale is composed of determination, confrontation, and independence. And if you can score north of a 7.5 on those three scales, you tend to be a stubborn person because you have strong opinions. You're willing to defend those opinions. And if somebody doesn't agree with your opinion, you're still going to pursue your opinion against their will. And that's the stubborn scale. And on my Facet 5, I'm a 10.
I know someone like that who's a 10, maybe even in this room.
Oh, boy.
So how do leaders deal with stubborn people, I guess, when it comes to listening to them?
Yeah. Stubborn people, now not all stubborn people are stubborn at all times. So some of us have learned how to be not stubborn. We've learned how to listen to other perspectives, how to moderate confrontation, how to go with the flow and go with the decisions that we don't necessarily like. But if you do encounter a stubborn person in your work and you would like to somehow convince them to go a certain way, my recommendation is this. Listen, 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 and let them pour their heart out about every opinion they have on the subject that you have for them. And just let them talk and keep asking questions until you get to the point where they do not have an answer. That's the powerful question that will get them to, I don't know. And once you have them at, I don't know, you can start collaborating with them. Say, well, if you don't know, what if we put our heads together and figure it out together? And now that opens the door to having that person collaborate with you. And sometimes you need to ask permission. You might have an opinion. You might say, well, you don't know. Would you like me to share how I think we might be able to do this? And once you get them there, they'll have a reaction to whatever it is you say, and then you continue the same course of questioning. Okay, why do you have that reaction? What would you do differently? How would you do this if you were in charge? Who would you do this with? When would you do it? Again, you go through all those questions, who, what, when, where, how, why, and you'll get your stubborn person around or over the hump eventually. But it does take time. Like we said, time is not always in abundance for managers, and that's simply the investment you have to take into consideration whenever you're introducing a change in your environment.
Is there anything else you'd like to say on the topic of listening?
The topic of listening, I think, is something that we can all practice and get better at, and I think probably the greatest judge of our listening skills is often our family, our spouse, our siblings, our parents, and you can simply ask the people that are closest to you to help you. So we can all practice it more. I encourage everybody to practice it regularly. And if anybody has any questions, I would welcome them to send me a note, send me an email, and I'd be happy to engage with them in a conversation of listening.
So that's Mary Legakis Engel. Thank you so much for listening to my questions and for collaborating on this podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Again, that was Mary Legakis Engel joining the FM Magazine podcast. For more podcasts, visit fm-magazine.com/podcast or find us on Spotify, Podomatic, or Google or Apple podcast channels.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.